see if we can get down to verse 21 or just get close anyway. Think about the book of Romans for a minute and understand something about it if we haven't mentioned this already, that the book of Romans is trying to deal with some division,
some conflict, argument, disagreement, anxiety, opposition. Two groups of people are focused on in the book of Romans. We have the Jews, and we have, we'll use the word Greeks or Gentiles. Those are really interchangeable. And as you know, Rome at the time was a country that probably mostly spoke Latin, but the Roman mindset was always one of assimilation. So when you think about who is a Roman, that's kind of hard to say, because when they conquered a country, now everybody there was Romans. But you had that Greek, that Gentile mindset, and that Jewish mindset, and the church at Rome had some of both, and they weren't getting along. You look at the book of Romans and start to break it apart, and you'll see a lot of things that point this out. I think of the verse in Romans chapter 10 where he says, there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Anybody can get saved. Amen? Come on, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody. Okay? Now you think, well, what was the conflict? And here's what the conflict was. Some people think they're better than other people. It's just that simple. I'm better than them because of my education. I'm better than them because of my gifts, my talents, my abilities. I'm better than them because of my nationality. It's not just as simple as plain old racism, but it's even further than that. It's like, we are from a group that's better than your group. And that's just a common human trait, that people are inclined to be proud. Trying to think if it was Wesley who made this statement. He said somebody asked him, Mr. Wesley, he's the one that founded Methodism, of all the dangers to the Christian life, which one do you think is the most dangerous? And he said, I have no doubt the thing that each Christian should constantly avoid is pride. We want to be good. I'm better than somebody. I know more than somebody. I'm more talented. I do more. I am more. So this passage talks about that. Now, if you have a situation like that where you've got some folks who think they're better than somebody else, then what they're going to do is they're going to act upon that, and there's going to be some injury. And as you know, when someone injures us, our fleshly human, from the time we were born, natural response is to get even. We're gonna make them pay for it. And if you watch what's happening in this passage, it makes perfect sense that it would be in the book of Romans, because what he's telling them is two things. One of them is, in no particular order, don't get even with people is one of them. I'll show you that in a second. And the other one is, don't think you're better than somebody else. And the interesting thing, when you read the New Testament, you'll find something. Quite often, the first verse and the last verse in a chapter will be the slices of bread around the sandwich. You read that first verse and that last verse, a lot of the time it defines the chapter. And it does here. If you look at the last verse in Romans chapter 12, look with me if you will, at verse 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That sums it all up. There are going to be folks, I'm sorry to tell you this, as if it's a surprise to anybody here, and it's not, there will be folks that will hurt you. There will be folks that will hurt you on purpose. There will be folks that will hurt you on purpose that are Christians. I know other folks are going to do it as well, but that's not really what he's worried about. The focus here is on the people in that church at Rome. And when you read these verses, you start to think, wow, they must have had some trouble there. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to give them some medicine, if you will, or some ointment to overcome that, or to resolve that difficulty they've got, to show them how not to have that. And you see this all through the Bible. I think of Galatians 5, it talks about this and other places. But let's just look at these verses. This is plenty. And you can remain seated. Let me read them to you. look out for this. In these verses, in verse 14, in verse 17, in verse 19, and in verse 20 and 21, five times, 14, 17, 19, 20, and 21, he talks about people that hurt you or people that do something that causes injury to you. So let me begin reading in verse 14. He says, "Bless them which persecute you." There's one. "Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil." There's another one there. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." So if somebody hurt you, "but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20, "Therefore if thine enemy," there's another opponent, enemy, "hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." There's persecution in verse 14. There's evil in verse 17. There's injury in verse 19 that might result in vengeance. There's having an enemy in verse 20. And there's evil again and being a victim of evil in verse 21. And the instructions are how to respond to that. And with those thoughts, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll spend about 15 minutes and take a look at this and trust God will bless our time. Father, we come before you tonight. In our lives, we can look back easily and think of times when folks were injurious towards us. Not just times when they were injurious on accident, but when they were injurious with intent, that they desired to injure us. And sadly, but truly, some of those folks claimed to be born-again Christians. Some of them were church members. Some of them were deacons. Some of them were faithful in serving. And yet, somewhere along the way, they marked us for injury, and in doing so, they gave us an opportunity to learn how to respond. I pray that you give us understanding tonight. It's a natural response for us to try to gain vengeance, but you make it very clear in these passages that that is forbidden. In fact, you give us a higher road, a better way to deal with injury. You make it very clear that it's going to always be successful. I pray that you'd give us the faith to pursue it in that way. I pray for folks tonight that may need to hear these words, that you'd comfort them, give them wisdom. And I pray for others that may face this in the future or may have faced it in the past. Just forgive us for the mistakes we might have made and give us wisdom in the future to respond the way we should. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you have ever worked with children, you have heard these words. "He hit me first." "He hit me first. He did it first." Haven't you? And that seems to be, in the mind of a child, a justification to hit him back. And just a fact. It happens. Paul talks about that here in the book of Romans. The introduction here that I'm going to give you is just the fact that it's a lot to say about how to respond to someone who injures you. And then the summation in verse 21 we'll save for the end, but basically it just tells us there's a better way, and that's, we'll talk about that in just a moment. He gives seven responsibilities, and you always know when you have 7-point message you got a problem, because about 3 or 4 points is all we can really handle, so I'll go through these kind of quickly, and they do overlap a little bit. I'll read them to you. First of all, in verse 14 he says to bless the persecutor. In verse 15 he tells us to rejoice and weep with those folks. It's a matter of being sensitive or in tune with the feelings of other people, the scenario that they face them, that they find themselves in. Verse 16 talks about having common direction, a same mind is the phrase he uses. Verse 16 talks about how we deal with folks that are, and it says the word low estate. The thought there is someone who is of lesser ability or stature or status or talent or whatever than you are. In verse 17, he says, don't get even. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't get even. He says also in verse 17 that we are to provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. That's a powerful verse with a lot of implications. And then verse 18, he says, be at peace with all men as much as possible. He follows that with four responsibilities towards enemies. Not gaining vengeance in verse 19. Blessing them, feeding them, giving them drink in verse 20. And then he reminds us again to overcome evil with God's good. So there is this thought here that there is a way to respond when someone hurts you. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand because if you thought about it, we all could. Whether you're in the ministry, whether you're just a church member, when I say just a church member, whether you are a church member, a faithful church member, there's a lot of responsibility there. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Someone's going to say something, and it shocks you, and I've seen it so many times I lose track. It shocks you. There are people that will just attack you. I remember, and by the way, I'm not thinking of anybody in this room. I think, praise the Lord, right now we have a very peaceable church. Amen? I've been in church situations to where I had a self-appointed opponent, somebody who thought it was their job to straighten me out or to correct me all the time. And there was this one fellow I'm thinking about in Maryland, and you knew in a deacon's meeting, not a deacon's meeting, in a church meeting, in a business meeting, he was going to challenge you. I had a deacon like that for a while in Maryland, and he turned out to be a great blessing, but I thought to myself, you know, this is good, because what it does is it makes me dot my I's and cross my T's and come to the meeting prepared. And the last thing you want to do is be sloppy in the Lord's work, amen? So I took that disadvantage or that opposition or that, it was just flat out, he just wanted to be contrary. He enjoyed being contrary, and I tried to use it to my advantage. I cannot say that it was all. I was always successful, and in fact, to the day that when we left Maryland in 2016, one of the last conversations I had with him were included a whole bunch of accusations and such. And you know what? You just got to let God deal with it sometimes. Amen. So, if you were and I were to decide, and I tried to make this decision, and I think I have been successful, Lord willing, I don't know, but I'd like to think I have. I just make it a purpose in my life not to think I'm better than anybody. You know what I'm saying? And not to think that I need or that I have a right or that I should be compelled to get even with anybody. Now, that's by the way, that is carnal. When you get even with folks, that is flesh, it is not spirit. He prohibits it right here, doesn't he? So let's just dig into this just a little bit and see what we can see. Look at verse 14. He says, bless them which persecute you. He kind of says the same thing in verse 20. You know what the word bless means? It comes from an interesting word. The Greek word is the same word where we get the word eulogy. You go to a funeral, and we have someone who stands up and gives a eulogy. And what they do is they compliment the person. Now, I will suspect that in the next week or two, there will be a funeral for Mrs. Spencer. And I can tell you there was a lot of good things to say about that lady. Amen. She was a sweet lady. She was dedicated. Her health was never great. And she was weak and frail. And yet she served and she endured. Her and her husband never had a whole lot of anything. They didn't own a house. They had a hard time getting around. They had one car, didn't they, Mrs. Dahlman? And so it's just a lot of difficulties in life, and she trusted the Lord. It will be easy for someone to stand up at her funeral and say, this was a sweet lady, a fine servant of God, a saint that deserves to be commended. It's easy to say that about somebody when they're on your good side. But what he says here is he says, bless them that curse you. Now, just when you think of the word bless, you think of the word happy, don't you? So what he's saying is make them happy. So wait a minute. They didn't make me happy. Why should I make them happy? That's the point. This is the way we deal with this. And I got to let the cat out of the bag right now and tell you, all these things point to what Christ did for us. Folks, our sins nailed him to the cross. The Jews who were so cruel on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen? Every time you see the Lord Jesus Christ respond, the Bible says God's mercy endures forever. talks about his forgiveness, his grace, all the things that we don't deserve. We talk about it every Wednesday night. Folks, bless them which persecute you. None of these words are difficult words. To bless means to make somebody happy. We know what it means to be persecuted. And then he just reiterates in verse 14, bless and curse not. To curse is to wish evil against somebody. I learned something. I haven't mentioned this for a long time. But when I learned it, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When somebody hurts you and you want to forgive them, here's what you do. Pray for God to bless them. Right then, somebody hurts you. As soon as you get a chance, get off to the side and say, Lord, be good to that person. Give them blessings today. Give them an extra portion of your grace. Show them your kindness in a great way. And I don't know why, but for me, and I think it'll work for you as well, when I do that, it makes me feel wonderful. Because it's a realization of the command that we have to forgive one another. Don't we have a command to forgive one another? And so the Bible says to forgive. There's no question about it. And it's Galatians as well. But anyway, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Galatians 6, I believe. But anyway, when we were injured, if you bless them, if you pray for God to bless them, it makes you feel good. And it makes you feel better than what they did to hurt you. And if you will practice that and practice that and practice that, it will make your life so much more blessed and so much more comfortable and so much happier. I was reading the other day, there's two things that, amongst others, that are caused by stress. One of them is high blood pressure. The other one's high blood sugar. And isn't there a lot of stress in the world today? I am thoroughly convinced that being a Christian, the Bible says that it's health to our bones to be joyous. That being a Christian is a healthy way to be. Not to mention the things that we don't do, that's not smoking and that sort of thing, but in just the way we see things. And to have less stress, because, folks, stress is a form of worry, and worry is wrong. Have faith in God. So when someone persecutes you, he says, bless them. Pray for them. Be good to them. Do just the opposite. And it will change your life, and it will change theirs as well. This next one is interesting. He says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. So what does that have to do with this? Have you ever noticed, let's say you have an enemy. You shouldn't have enemies, but let's say you do. And when your enemy falls on hard times, I'm just speaking in a secular tone here. We wouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this. But a lost person would say, well, good, they're suffering because they're my enemy and they ought to suffer. And I hope they suffer more. And instead of saying, oh, no, they're suffering, and suffering with them. Or if they're getting blessed, let's say the enemy is getting blessed. You'd say, oh, we don't want them to be blessed. We want them to go through hard times. And so if they're rejoicing, it's going to make me upset. You see what he's saying here? What he says is, when that person that persecutes you or injures you or does something to offend you, when they're suffering, you grieve with them. You see it as something that would happen, as if it was happening to you. If they're being blessed, praise God, they're being blessed. Now you watch this. This is exciting to me. That's another thing. If you will practice that, it'll make you feel so good. Because you are realizing, you are practicing, you are doing the very thing that God told you to do, and you know it. And when you forgive them, and you pray for God to bless them, and you bless them, and they're being blessed, and so you rejoice, or they're suffering, and so you grieve over it, that's a different way of seeing things, isn't it? That's the solution to the conflict. The third one here, in verse 16, he says, be of the same mind one toward another. The sloppy way to say it is, don't be disagreeable or be agreeable. Let's just think about that for a second. I'm not saying you should compromise, but try to see things the way other people see them. Try to at least understand where they're coming from. But be of the same mind one towards another is kind of a wrapper for the previous two verses. In other words, what he's saying is we all ought to be doing these things, and we should be doing them equally, and we should be seeing things the same way. And then he elaborates on that in verse 16. He says, mind not, and when you see the word mind, just think about thinking. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, the word condescend has to do with disregarding your status or disregarding your privileges. We are to not be thinking that we're better than somebody else. And we are, when the word condescend means to submit or to yield or as to an inferior, somebody who's lower than you. It really helps when you work with teenagers, by the way. If you work with teenagers or children, if you try to not present yourself as being so much better than them. As an example, when I'm talking to a child, if I'm trying to talk to a child and they're standing in front of me, a lot of the times I'll get down low where they are and talk to them eye to eye. Even down, like get on one knee. I'm not going to do it right now because I can't get back up quick, but I get down on one knee and talk to them at their eye level, or have them sit in a chair and sit in a chair at the same level as they are. And just don't think of yourself as being better than them. Yeah, you're an adult, and sure, you know more, and yes, you are farther along and more accomplished, but at the same time, try to just let them know you don't think you're better than them. You just care about them, you know? And so that's what he's saying here. He says, condescend to men of low estate. You will find people. Look, I'll tell you something. There's always somebody that's got more money than you do, more money. There's always somebody smarter than you. And there's always going to be somebody who's better at it than you are. And if you're trying to be the best, you're in the wrong game. I used to work with a type of computer which was, it was called a mini computer, and it was kind of a quick and dirty way to get things done. And every now and then we had to go meet with the guys that worked on mainframes. You won't know what that is, but that's the big computers, the $1 million computers. I was working on a $100,000 computer. They're working on a $1 million computer, and their computer's been around for 15, 20 years, and it can do anything, and my computer can do a few things. And we go meet with these guys to talk about some interface, and when you walk into the room, you could feel it. They thought they were better than you were. And I remember one time an IBM engineer was putting a computer in, and I was sent to help her, and she was insulted. She was incensed that somebody would come help her put this computer in because she was an engineer with IBM and she knew everything. And I was sitting back, and I did not try to make a big fuss of it. She put a disk in the computer backwards. I saw her do it. I knew it wasn't going to work. She pushes the button, the computer won't do anything. And I'm thinking, oh no, I've got to go fix this. And now she's really going to be mad. And so I forgot how we kind of dropped a hint. Maybe the disk is backwards or something. But then about 10 minutes later, they had to run some cable. It just so happened I knew how to do, Mr. Gonzalez may have seen this, it's called TwinAx. It's a shield with two conductors in the middle, and it's got a really crazy connector on the end. And she didn't have a clue how to put those things together, and I did. And at the end of the day, we kind of got along because, you know, we just tried to find some common ground, and she was glad I was there. Try to make peace with people. That's what he says here. As much as life, then you live peaceably with all men. Amen? So try to get peaceable with folks. So when in verse 16, don't think you're better than somebody. Drop your status. Drop your superiority. Disregard that and yield to them. Be on their level, even if they are of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think of yourself as being so much better or whatever. Just be equal with them. Verse 17 is a lot like verse 19. Recompense to no man evil for evil. And then he says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Don't get even with people, but just be right. Just do what's right and let them see it. And folks, the right thing to do is what God says to do. Amen? Isn't it so easy for us to say, well, you know, they hurt me, and so I'm going to get back at them. The minute you do that, you're stepping out of God's law into the flesh, and don't let people see you ever do that. Verse 18, if it be possible, sometimes it's not, but let's not worry about that right now. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Just be at peace with people. Now remember, verse 19 tells you how. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." Let's just break that down a little bit. Avenge. Don't get even. They hurt me. I can't do a thing about it. Not going to do a thing about it. Not going to cross the line. Not going to break God's law. Not going to displease the Lord. I'm going to step back. God saw it. He'll take care of it. This is great because here's what happens. Sometimes somebody hurts us and we decide to get even with them, but they didn't do it on purpose. And we do. That makes us the guilty party. And second thought is this. God knows how to deal with folks a lot better than you and I do. He knows how to deal with it. He knows what to do. And you think about it. If we love one another and if we love other folks, we really don't want to see God hurt them that bad. In fact, we don't want to see God hurt them at all. But they're His children, and He will discipline them. They're not my children. They're His children. He will discipline them the way He sees fit, and He's much better at it than I am. So when He says, "Give place unto wrath," what that means is we use the phrase, "Let it go." Have room for it. Don't let it get out. Just contain it. Let it settle. Let it go. If you want help with that, go back to what I said in verse 14 and 15. Pray for them. Be a blessing to them. And it'll help you in the way you see things. I'm out of time. I'm sorry. Let's just look at this real quick. He says, therefore, in verse 20, if that enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. What does that mean? There's two thoughts there. I know the Lord's going to deal with him, but you ever heard that phrase, kill him with kindness? I've seen this happen. When someone hurts you, and when you respond in kindness, you do something good for them. It makes them feel guilty. That's heaping the coals of fire on their head. It makes them see they were wrong. And then, praise God, they can get right. Amen? Not enough time to tell stories, but I've seen it happen. So now, again, verse 21, and I wish I had, you just real quick, I'll explain it. In verse 21, he says, be not overcome of evil. Don't let what they did cause you to do what's wrong. The overword overcome means to be conquered or carried off. Don't let the evil carry you off. Overcome the evil with your good. They hurt me, be that much better to them. They persecuted me, bless them that much more. It's not easy, but it works. And if we had that attitude, folks, wow, wouldn't we get along well? Now, again, I praise God. I've seen a lot of situations in churches where folks got crosswise with each other and it became a battle. I have not seen that here. I'm not seeing it right now. Don't start. praise the Lord. I think we get along really well. But there will be times when there will be somebody come into the midst and they're not as agreeable. And when that happens, well, we need to practice these kinds of things. And it may be in your work situation. I've had it there so many times at work to where somebody was going to be difficult and they were better than I was or whatever. And this works in the workplace. It works in the church. It works in the family. It just works. Amen? What did Christ do? We sinned, and we nailed him to the cross, and he paid for all of our sins. If you want to be a Christian, then we need to be willing to bear the sins of others. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.